Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Chemistry Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics in the whole specification, fuels and earth science. Specifically, the evolution of Earth's atmosphere. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel, or OCR, this topic comes up every single year, and I promise you, by the end of this episode, you'll feel genuinely confident walking into that exam. So let's get started. Now let's begin at the very beginning. And I mean the very beginning. About 4.6 billion years ago, the Earth was a very different place. There was no oxygen, no life, and the atmosphere was a thick, toxic soup of volcanic gases. This is what we call the early atmosphere, and it's the first thing examiners love to test. So what was in that early atmosphere? The key gases were carbon dioxide, lots of it, water vapor, nitrogen, and smaller amounts of methane and ammonia. Crucially, there was little or no oxygen. I want you to remember that. No oxygen. If an exam question asks you to identify gases in the early atmosphere, carbon dioxide and water vapor are your go-to answers, and you must state there was little or no oxygen. Now, how did we get from that toxic volcanic atmosphere to the one we breathe today? It happened in stages, and this is where the story gets really interesting. Stage one, volcanic outgassing. Intense volcanic activity released huge quantities of carbon dioxide, water vapor, and nitrogen into the atmosphere. Think of the Earth as a giant pressure cooker, venting gases through volcanoes for millions of years. Stage two, the oceans form. As the Earth gradually cooled, that water vapor in the atmosphere began to condense, just like steam condensing on a cold window. This liquid water accumulated over millions of years to form the oceans. And here's a really important point for your exam. When the oceans formed, carbon dioxide began dissolving into the water. This is a physical process, and it caused a significant decrease in atmospheric carbon dioxide levels. Examiners want you to link the decrease in CO2 to both physical and biological processes. So remember both. Stage three, photosynthesis. This is the biological process I just mentioned. Around 3.5 billion years ago, tiny photosynthetic organisms called cyanobacteria evolved. These microscopic life forms used carbon dioxide and sunlight to produce oxygen and glucose. Over hundreds of millions of years, the oxygen they released gradually built up in the atmosphere. This is why we have the oxygen-rich atmosphere we enjoy today, and it's entirely down to these ancient microorganisms. Examiners specifically want you to link the rise in oxygen to the evolution of photosynthetic organisms. Don't just say plants. Be precise and say photosynthetic organisms or cyanobacteria. Stage four, the modern atmosphere. Today, our atmosphere is approximately 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and just 0.04% carbon dioxide with small amounts of argon and other noble gases. That's a dramatic change from the early atmosphere, and it happened over billions of years. Now let's talk about the greenhouse effect, because this is where the topic connects to climate change, and that's a big deal in modern exam papers. The greenhouse effect is a natural and essential process. Without it, Earth would be far too cold to support life. Here's how it works. Shortwave solar radiation from the sun passes through the atmosphere and is absorbed by Earth's surface. The Earth then re-emits this energy as long-wave infrared radiation, essentially heat. Greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, including carbon dioxide, methane, and water vapor, absorb this outgoing infrared radiation and re-radiate it back towards Earth's surface. This traps heat and keeps the planet warm. Now, here's the critical distinction that candidates often get wrong in exams. The greenhouse effect itself is natural and beneficial. The problem is the enhanced greenhouse effect, where human activity is increasing the concentration of greenhouse gases, causing the planet to warm beyond its natural range. This enhanced warming is what we call global warming, and it drives climate change. What human activities increase greenhouse gas concentrations? Burning fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas releases carbon dioxide that was locked away for millions of years. Deforestation reduces the number of trees available to absorb CO2 through photosynthesis. Farming, particularly livestock farming, releases methane, a greenhouse gas that is actually more potent than carbon dioxide over a short timescale. Rice paddies also produce methane, and landfill sites release methane as organic waste decomposes. The consequences of climate change include rising sea levels due to melting ice caps, more frequent and severe weather events, shifts in ecosystems, and threats to food security. Examiners may ask you to distinguish between causes and consequences. So be clear. Burning fossil fuels is a cause. Rising sea levels is a consequence. Finally, let's cover the chemical test for oxygen because this is a required practical element. If you want to test for the presence of oxygen, you use a glowing splint. A glowing splint, that's a wooden splint that has been lit and then blown out, so it's just glowing, is held near the gas. If oxygen is present, the splint relights. This is a classic one-mark question, and you must use the exact phrase, relights a glowing splint, to get the mark. Great, let's talk exam technique because knowing the content is only half the battle. Mistake number one, confusing the greenhouse effect with ozone layer depletion. These are completely different things. The greenhouse effect is about heat being trapped by greenhouse gases. Ozone depletion is about UV radiation reaching Earth's surface due to damage to the ozone layer caused mainly by CFCs. If a question asks about the greenhouse effect, do not mention the ozone layer. Examiners see this confusion every year, and it costs candidates marks. Mistake number two, vague language. If a question asks you to explain the greenhouse effect, you must say that greenhouse gases absorb infrared radiation emitted from Earth's surface and re-radiate it back. Simply saying the gases trap heat is too vague and will not earn full marks. Use the precise phrase, absorbing heat radiated from the Earth. Mistake number three, not linking CO2 decrease to both processes. When explaining why CO2 decreased over time, always mention two things. One, it dissolved in the oceans, and two, it was used in photosynthesis by plants and algae. Mentioning only one of these will cost you a mark on a two-mark question. Mistake number four, saying plants when you should say photosynthetic organisms. Early Earth had no plants, it had cyanobacteria. Be precise. Tip number one, for six-mark questions on climate change, structure your answer clearly. Start with the cause. Increased greenhouse gas concentrations due to human activity. Then explain the mechanism, enhanced greenhouse effect traps more heat. Then state the consequence, global temperatures rise, leading to climate change. This logical chain earns marks at every step. Tip number two, when interpreting graphs of atmospheric CO2 concentration over time, look for the trend and link it to human activity. If the graph shows a sharp rise from around 1750 onwards, that's the Industrial Revolution, the start of large-scale fossil fuel burning. Examiners love asking you to describe and explain trends in data. Tip number three, command words matter. If the question says state, give a brief factual answer. If it says explain, you must include a reason. Use the word because to link cause and effect. If it says evaluate, you need to consider evidence on both sides and make a judgment. Okay, quick fire time. I'll ask a question, pause for a moment, then give you the answer. Cover your notes if you can. Question one, name two gases present in the early atmosphere, carbon dioxide and water vapor. Nitrogen is also acceptable. Question two, what process caused oxygen levels to rise in the atmosphere? Photosynthesis by cyanobacteria and other photosynthetic organisms. Question three, what is the chemical test for oxygen? A glowing splint relights in the presence of oxygen. Question four, name two human activities that increase greenhouse gas concentrations, burning fossil fuels and deforestation, or farming and landfill. Question five, what type of radiation do greenhouse gases absorb? Long-wave infrared radiation, heat emitted from Earth's surface. Question six, what is the approximate percentage of oxygen in today's atmosphere? 21%. Let's bring it all together. The Earth's atmosphere has changed dramatically over 4.6 billion years. It started with volcanic outgassing, producing carbon dioxide, water vapor, and nitrogen. The oceans formed as water vapor condensed, dissolving CO2 in the process. Photosynthetic organisms evolved and released oxygen, transforming the atmosphere into what we have today. The greenhouse effect is a natural process that keeps Earth warm, but human activity is enhancing it, causing global warming and climate change. In the test for oxygen, a glowing splint relights. You've got this. Keep revisiting these key points, practice past paper questions, and remember, examiners reward precise, well-structured answers. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode.